This world is a mess. It is messed up. Everything from personal tragedy and hardship, loss and pain and illness, anxiety from finances, being stretched too thin, to how we deal with one another, people stepping on each other's toes, feelings getting hurt. A good friend, a very wise voice, said to me this week, hurt feelings are easy to come by these days, as we're a little careless with one another sometimes. You get cut off on the road, get cut off, somebody takes your spot at the Walmart. I think we all know what that feels like. Hey, I've been waiting there. And those frustrations arise to the bigger things, to broken homes and broken families and addictions, these things that God never intended. You turn on the news, it's just messed up. This week, people mailed bombs in the name of the president to a former president and a former presidential candidate at their home. And just yesterday, nearly a dozen people went to worship at a synagogue, worship the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, and of David. And nearly a dozen were killed as a gunman went in and opened fire. This world's a mess. And it breaks my heart to see it. And it's good that it does, and I know I'm not alone. I know when we really take in the gravity of the situation that we live in this world and how hurtful it can be, it breaks our hearts. And it's good because it's not what God intended and it's not what He wanted. And it's okay to have a heart that's broken and to lament. If you ever get a chance to read the book Lamentations, that's what it's about, just lamenting how broken and fallen our world really is. And in those moments, our hearts are heavy. Whether it's a personal loss in something we're walking through, or just the evil hurt that's out there that we do to one another. It's okay to come into those moments and feel that sorrow and despair and pain at the brokenness. So brothers and sisters, hear me today. If you're going through something and you're feeling those feelings of lament, of sorrow, of hurt, of heavy burden weighing on you, it's okay to feel those things. But we can't live there. We can't live in front of the TV and the news cycle that just feeds us the horrible things over and over. Amen. Because what it's going to do is it's going to tear our minds apart, it's going to tear our hearts apart, and it's going to make us ineffective. Not just as witnesses for Christ, but just as people. It's going to stifle the power of God in our lives. So hear me today. Because I know something of understanding that brokenness. I've shared with you that I was bullied as a child growing up. From around the first grade to around my junior year of high school, I had a rough go at school and at church. And I found myself dwelling on that I didn't have friends. I remember one time in the fourth grade, there was an actual petition that went around the class that just said, "We hate David Bolton." And it's like, we chuckle and we go, "Oh." And no, it's not right and it's not good. And everybody except for one girl named Molly O'Malley signed it. Molly said, "No way I'm not signing that." Yeah, well, yes, good for her, and it was. And I really appreciated that. And I mean, that's really the story of how Molly O'Malley became my first crush, but that's not really the story here. But this was what I was faced with, and this was not an isolated incident either. I wasn't just picked last for sports, I was picked no. Go stand against the wall, Bolton. Go stand against the fence. You know what? Don't even watch. We don't even want you to watch us playing. And it hurt. There was a kid who had a rough go at home, and so he would punch me repeatedly. He actually knocked me out one day on the playground. And the principal didn't do anything. Because he had a rough home life, she said, no, we can't really discipline him. We can't really do much. I mean, what are you going to do when the kid's got a rough home life and there's no parents at home? You can't suspend the kid because then he's spending more time at home alone or with parents who are terrible to him. All the way up through my sophomore year of high school, I just felt disconnected from everyone. Felt like I had no friends. I lived in that sorrow. And it got to a point, and this is why I say I know how it can be, and I know what it is when we live in that sorrow and how it breaks us, because there was one night in my eighth grade year that it got so bad I tried to take my own life. And I want you to hear that today, because I had so many struggles at school and at church. And I remember being in Bible quizzing, which was wonderful, and I have so many fond memories of it. It was where I actually did start to make friends on the district, and why I'm such a proponent for doing things as a church district. But I remember studying through the epistles, these letters from Paul to churches in the Gentile world of that day, and taking a look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9 this morning, but just verse 4 hung me up as I was living in this place of sorrow and knowing this is not a recent problem. The world has always had troubles. The world has always had pain. The world has always had sorrow. There have always been violent acts from one person to another. In Genesis, we see Cain kills his brother Abel. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let me tell you something. When I was in those days, I didn't know how to do that. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Somebody once told me that as I was having a hard time. They just quoted that verse to me, and I looked at them and I went, how? How when there's this crushing weight on me? How when I'm facing sorrow? How when I'm facing pain? How when I'm facing uncertainty? How when I don't even want to live anymore, am I supposed to just rejoice? Sometimes it can feel that way, can't it? If you're feeling that today, I want to offer you some hope of how we can find joy in the brokenness, in the midst of that sorrow, in the midst of that pain, in the midst of this broken world, how we can fulfill this command that Paul offered to the Philippians that holds true for us today, to rejoice in the Lord always. And if you're not going through that today, I want you to pay attention and listen, because at some point you may. Because trials come and trials go in varying levels of severity. And I want you to be ready so you can stand firm and know how to rejoice and find that joy in the brokenness. Paul continues writing there after he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Lord, help us to see. There are times that depression can try and creep in and anxiety can try and overwhelm and lead us to a place of anguish, how to find a place of joy in you. Speak to us from your word. Speak to us with your love today. When times are good, it's easy to rejoice, isn't it? When times are hard, it's a little harder, and we approach passages like this almost cautiously. But I want to make sure we look at this and understand. Paul included this. This is his final exhortation or set of exhortations, commands, ways to live out the theology he has taught to the Philippians. How to go about that. And there are three things I want us to really focus in on. Practical ways from looking at this scripture, from looking at Paul's writing to the Philippians, that we can experience and find our way back to that place of joy. This is not one of the points, but the first thing to note, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." It doesn't say rejoice in every situation and circumstance. It doesn't say, be glad that bad things are happening to you, because that feels great, or it should feel good. No, it says rejoice in the Lord. At the end of verse 5, there are four incredibly powerful words. The Lord is near. When I was younger, and it's sometimes when I read that whole verse, I see, let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near. It's easy to sometimes put a because in there or for in there, or to say this clause is dependent. You're doing it. You're being gentle because God is watching, and that's his command. So be gentle because he's watching you. But I think we get that backwards sometimes when we take that attitude. Brothers and sisters, when you're facing sorrow, the first thing we need to do is understand God loves you and he has drawn near to you. To rejoice in the Lord is to understand that Christ has died and he has risen. And there is now no enmity, no brokenness between us and the Heavenly Father. And that is such a strong sign of his great love for you and for me. And sometimes when we're in that place of sorrow and hurt, it doesn't just make it all better immediately. But let me tell you, when you stop and ponder it, doesn't it bring some comfort to know that one day struggles will end? And in the meantime, God is close. He walks with us. He has drawn near to us. So if you're feeling like God is far away today, you're wrong. He is not. He is never far. The Lord is near, and he loves you. Trust and rest in that. The second thing we need to look at that we can see here. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. To some of you, this will sound familiar, almost like you heard me preach something similar a little over a year ago, before you even called me to be your pastor. So it's just a light refresher for everybody. In every situation, by prayer and petition. We all know what prayer is, right? Well, if you don't, I'll tell you. It's literally just going to God and talking to Him and listening to Him, sharing what's on your heart, what's on your mind, and then asking Him, Lord, what's on your heart? What's on your mind? What do you want to tell me? It's just a conversation with God. And it's a holy moment, and it's a sacred thing that we get to participate in because God has drawn near to us. We don't have to scream, we don't have to shout, we don't have to invoke. There's no magic. We just talk to Him and open up, and He's right there. Petition. I told you about one that went around about me. It's exactly the same thing as we do. Have you ever signed a petition for the government? Somebody comes and says, hey, I'm gathering signatures for this petition. We want to tell the government what's wrong and what needs to change. We can do that with our God. Literally write down what is wrong, how we want to see Him move, and sign our names to it. Either you yourself, or you pull in brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, when you are going through something and you have trusted believers that you can walk with and you can open up and say, I am struggling with this. This is a hard thing that I'm walking through. I need God to move in this area in this way. Pull together your brothers and sisters to pray with you, to petition, to sign their names off on that prayer and go before God and say, listen, we're agreeing, Lord. This isn't right. Please move in this and in this way. And show us what we can do to help surround and lift up one another. And the second part of that is with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Why thanksgiving? I mean, we get together for one meal a year for Thanksgiving, right? Like, isn't that enough? We got the turkey and the green bean casserole. Or whatever it is you eat. I don't know. It's not that type of Thanksgiving, and it is something we need to do. Because what's wonderful about giving thanks to God is it sets our minds right. It's not something that we tell God the good things we're thankful for to earn His favor and show Him, well, so I want you to do this because, listen, I see these other good things, so now I've earned your favor because I am paying attention, so now act in this way. Thanksgiving remembers what it is that God has done for you, for your family, for your church, for the ones you love. And when you really start to focus on those, doesn't it kind of help sometimes to pull you out of that place of sorrow and despair, of frustration? Kind of set your mind right. That's why it's so important that we do both. Be open with God about anything that you're struggling with. Be open with God about any ways you need to see Him act, whether it's breaking a bond of an addiction, a broken relationship, an illness, or a great societal sickness, you take it to God. And you be fully open. And if you want to help set your mind right, offer up some thanksgiving. Which really leads into the third thing here of how to keep that going, because it's easy to just come to God and say, okay, Lord, I want you to move in this way. I'm thankful for the things in the past. And we get a temporary fix, right? We go, okay, yeah, I'm feeling a little better. Now I'm going to go. I'm going to go back about my life. I'm going to go back about my ways. I'm going to go back into things. I'm trying to make a positive change, but we keep walking and we just go. And inevitably, when we do that, life is just going to pull us right back down because hard things don't stop coming. Like I said, you turn on the news, you pick up a newspaper, you go to work where maybe you're overworked and underpaid. Maybe your boss is a jerk. I know mine is. I'm my own boss, and I don't like him. I have problems with him sometimes. So I can't even imagine. And I remember what it's like to have coworkers that'll say something sideways to you, and it can just derail your whole day, can't it? And pull you right back down to where you've been. Paul really sums it up well in this. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This isn't just some philosophy or modern psychology of self-actualization, bringing peace to yourself. This isn't the Dr. Phil show. But if you want to have lasting joy and peace and more of it in the midst of a broken world and the situations which, by the way, don't take this sermon to say this is going to fix all of your problems. This is going to set you back on the road toward peace and keep you from that breaking anxiety. As Paul says, you will have peace, not that the situations will be resolved and you won't have problems, but you'll have peace in them that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Third thing we need to make sure we're doing is focus on the good. You can turn on the news and see every bad thing. You can go on social media and see people just being nasty to each other. You can go and bump into somebody and just be nasty with each other. But Paul gives us a pretty exhaustive list here of whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Have you heard the phrase, what you focus on, you find? It's a good phrase. It's one I very much like. What you focus on, you find. If you focus on the negative, you're going to find the negative inside of you. It lets its way in. Another old thing I've heard, garbage in, garbage out. Maybe you're familiar with that phrase. What you focus on, you find. If you're focusing on the good, whatever is true, noble, pure, right, the things that are excellent, the things that are praiseworthy, focus on them. Why do I say this isn't just some Dr. Phil show statement? Although it is true, psychologically it does have an effect on us when we focus on those good things. This is a command from Paul in Scripture because he knew what it was to have bad in his life and have to focus on the good. And because God gives us tremendous gifts. Yes, there are the wonderful spiritual gifts of Christ and His resurrection that we are so thankful for. The gift of prayer, the gift of petitioning, the gift of thanksgiving. But there are also tangible things in your life. Do you have a spouse that loves you and that you love? Focus on that. Do you have children that love you? I do. I have a wonderful marriage. I have children that adore me. Man, when I sit and think about that, it's kind of hard to not smile. I have parents that love me and did their best to raise me right. That seems pretty noble. I look at the trees, especially this time of year, and the leaves that are starting to change color, and just all the beauty in nature around. That seems pretty lovely. I think of the friends and relationships that I've formed in my time here and that I've seen between other people in this church. That's pretty right. That's pretty admirable. And when we think about those things and focus on those things, it sets our hearts and it sets up habits of looking for the good in a situation, in a moment. It sets our minds on a place that is better to be, on the gifts of God rather than the sorrows of the world. Keeps us a little more stable and a little more even-keeled. And is a wonderful thing. And a wonderful gift from God to be able to look at those, to be able to lay down the burdens that would hold us down and pick up the good things that God has given us. So if today you're struggling because there is a burden or multiple burdens, here's what I want you to do. I want you to tomorrow morning, whatever morning is for you, some of us work nights, so your morning is when you wake up. This is like first thing. I'm refreshed. I'm ready to go for the day. If you need to do it early to make time for this, then get up a little bit early. It's better to be sleep deprived than God deprived. Wake up a couple minutes early and just sit and meditate. Literally just repeat over and over again and meditate and think about God is near. God loves me and God is near. That's it. Just that. Give yourself 5 to 10 minutes. If you go longer, great. If you can't quite make the 10-minute mark, okay, that's okay too. But get up tomorrow and do that. Get up tomorrow and just take some time thinking about God loves me, God is near. God loves me, and God is close by me. God loves me, and God is here with me. Do this because it will help set the pattern of thinking about that. Then, Tuesday, I want you to wake up, and I want you to take some time in prayer and writing down, these are the things that are wrong in my life that need to be righted. This is how I want God to make it right. And then make another list that says, these are the things I am thankful for. Write it on paper. Write it with your hand. It's easy to go to a computer. If you're not able to write, that's okay. If you are able to write, get pen and paper. Feel your body make the motions. Do it the long way. Do it the hard way. There is something better for our minds when we do it physically. Take the time. Invest. God, this is wrong. I need you to act in this way. Here's what I'm thankful for. And then sign your name on the paper and stick it in an envelope and stick it in a drawer. And go back to it next year or in a month later on and see what still needs to be changed. And see if you can add some of those needs to be changed to the Thanksgiving list. And then Wednesday, I want you to get up. And I want you to just make a list and think. This one I want you to carry with you. Everything that meets the criteria in chapter 4, verse 8 of Philippians. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, or praiseworthy. Write them on that list and carry it with you. And throughout the day, try and think of more things that you can think about that are those things. Or if you come across something good, maybe you saw somebody stop to help somebody with a flat tire. Write it down, not while you're driving. Like, wait till the stoplight, or better yet, when you get to your destination. Somebody said something nice to you or another coworker at work. Write it down and think about it. And when you're having those moments, you can just pull out your list of these are the good things that I can think about that God has given in my life. So I've given you an assignment for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. If you like it, keep it going. Repeat the cycle. Get creative with it. Whatever you do that helps you. But at least try that. And if you do it faithfully, and you say at the end of the week, this didn't help me at all, and I'm miserable, and I'm worse off than I was before, you come tell me on Sunday. I will take you out to lunch, and you can tell me all about it. And I will just sit there until you have used all your words, and you can't say anything else. I can't promise I won't talk after that. You hired a preacher. He's going to preach. Because you are not alone. God is near. He's given you other people. He's given you himself to pray to and give thanks to. He's given you other people to petition alongside you, to lift you up and support you. And he has given you good things in your life. Because I can tell you, as I was reflecting on that time as I was growing up and my despair over it, God revealed to me, David, did you really have no friends, or did I not provide you with a family that loved you, with a mother who would hold you on the bad days and say, oh, baby, it's going to be all right? Didn't I give you a friend at school every year who would stand up for you, or at least just not tease you and make fun of you and would spend some time with you? Didn't I give you Sarah and Melissa and Aaron and Andrew and Jason and Robert? Didn't I give you one person as you walked through that pain? What about Molly? Didn't I give you adults in your life as a child who loved you? What about Jeff? My friend Jeff Becker, who was my mentor, and for many years, one of my closest friends. He was my Sunday school teacher. He did wood carving and art. I have a picture he drew of Marvin the Martian that I still keep because it is precious to me. Sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I just think about Jeff. He was noble and pure and admirable. And even now, I'm just going to be totally transparent with you guys. The past few weeks have been hard. But as I was preparing for this sermon, I thought, do I not have a wife that I can go home to that will just hold me and say, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this, and God is going to take us home one day. And then when she is suffering and struggling, I can hold her and just say, oh, baby, it's going to be all right. God is going to come through. Even if it's not the way we expect, it's going to be all right. So if you're facing burden and you're facing struggle and you're facing pain and you're looking at the brokenness, turn your eyes to the cross and recognize the good things that God has given you and focus there. Don't forget about the rough things in the world, because we need to take action. And we're going to talk more about that next week. this week, I think we just need a reminder. It's okay to struggle. It's not okay to live there. And to echo the words, and maybe you just need to hear that, I know God has put people in my life to say, oh, it's going to be okay. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, it's going to be okay. God is going to come through, and one day he's going to take us home. And in the meantime, he is close at hand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for caring about our cares. Thank you for loving us and being close to us. Brothers and sisters, if you are feeling a burden today, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're feeling burdened today and would say, there's something I need God to move in, or that I'm struggling with, would you just lift a hand? I see you. God sees you. He knows intimately every detail. Lord, we pray for those who are burdened and struggling, that you would lift them up, that you would reveal to them how close you are and what it means to be close with you and to have you near, and the hope that we can have and the peace that that brings, to guard our hearts and minds through prayer and petition and thanksgiving, to trust in you more, Jesus. Help us to focus on the good. And for those of us who aren't struggling today, who are saying things are pretty good, Lord, help us to invest the time in you now, so that when the struggles do come, our habits are set on you. Our minds and hearts are set on you, who can guard us in Christ Jesus. Not that we won't be strained or stretched or stressed, but that we do not have to be broken. Thank you so much for this gracious gift of love. We adore you, Father. Come quickly. Right the wrongs. Whisper to us, oh baby, it's going to be okay. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, may the God of peace bring you peace. May the God, the author of life, bring you life and joy, and that abundantly in him, in his presence now, and may he preserve you blameless unto his holy kingdom. Amen. You're dismissed.